You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Back and better than ever, we hope. We're ready to go anyway on a midweek Wednesday here on the Gym Class from the Econ Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Welcome aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM. Eastern Iowa's home for sports along with 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes from his back porch in the southwest side. Isaac on the other side of the glass, all present and accounted for after a couple days off and rested, recreated, and back with you today. Lots to get to, and that includes a talk with John Cooper from Arlad Scouting Service, who's going to talk about next week's NFL draft from a local perspective and a national perspective as well. And if you have a question about a player or your favorite team, what they may do in next Thursday's round one or round two and three on Friday, go ahead and get that to us. And anything that's on your mind on the text line, that is 319-366-1600, 319-366-1600. Phone line open as well at 319-366-1600. Lots to cover before we talk to John. Good, bad, and even miraculous, because the White Sox are ahead 2-1 right now. I kid, because not every team can start off the season with the worst record in their franchise history. Mark, good to have you back, and good to be back on the airwaves.
Hey, great to be back, Scott. Doing this thing we do every afternoon, and I know you got rest and recreated. I had a nice little breather and ready to dive in.
I miss 88 degrees, though. I'm not kidding. Got out of the car up here. Holy cow, it's cold. But it'll get back. It'll get back. Isaac, how you been?
Good. Glad to have you guys back.
Good to see
you. Good to see you as well.
Everything good?
Yeah, nothing terrible happened while you guys were gone or anything like that.
So. Iowa City, the town is still standing Monday night.
Everything was fine down there. I don't think there was a tornado really near us. I know there was a warning there, but.
Well, I meant just the drafting of Caitlin Clark and Kate Martin.
Well, I mean that.
But yes, you're right.
There was a tornado warning the day after that happened. So I don't know if that's the beginning of the end there, then it's not going so great so far.
Yeah, we drove through southeast Iowa on the way back up, and it was you can tell a few places where it was where the storms affected that area. And if you were affected, we're thinking about you, certainly here on KGYM. 319-366-1600 as we make our way through a Wednesday edition of the program. We'll also have a very, very important Bowling Night in America for you. A preview coming up a little bit later on. But, Mark, let's get with the news of the day. Let's start off, though, with college basketball first and the University of Iowa. Dipping into the transfer portal today. And I think a pretty good get for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. If you watch the conference championship week and if you watch the first rounds of the NCAA tournament, you got to see this gentleman on the court for Morehead State and the Eagles, the regular season and tournament champions in the Ohio Valley, as Drew Thelwell is going to be an Iowa Hawkeye next year, as he has signed a scholarship tender with the University of Iowa. Averaged 10 points a game last year, 7.1 points over his career, along with 3 assists in 114 games, 810 career points. So barring any injury, he should go over the 1,000-point barrier as far as his career is concerned. A 35% shooter from three-point range. And he's a point guard. He is a leader on the floor. And he's going to be, I got to imagine, Mark, starting point guard for the opening game next year for the Iowa men's basketball team?
Yeah, I think that'll be determined in practice. Thelwell played about 35 minutes a game for Morehead State, which, by the way, is in Kentucky. And Morehead State faced Illinois in the NCAA tournament. But Thelwell is 6'3", 185. He has 1 year remaining to play at Iowa. The points are not gaudy. The assists are really sufficient. The battle will be with Brock Harding, I think, for that point guard position. And I don't know that he'll be playing 35 minutes a game at Iowa. I watched some highlights of what he did in his senior year, and the guy can pass for sure. He can get to the basket, finish with either hand. Kind of has a set shot, semi-set shot for his three. But as you mentioned, 35% from three-point range. Every team needs three-point shooters. I think it's a pretty good get.
Yeah, I think it is. He was 15th nationally in assists, led the Ohio Valley in assist-to-turnover ratio at almost 3, 2.70. That rated 36th nationally. So, I mean, you need two-point guards anyway. So, Brock Harding, yeah, he should be there next year. He had a very good last couple 3 weeks of the season for the Iowa men's basketball team. Showed, I think, why Fran McCaffrey and his staff liked him, along with his 6'11 friend from Moline last year. And you put him together with Thelwell, and if, and I think it's a 98.9% possibility that Peyton Sanford comes back next year. Am I lowballing that, by the way, Isaac? 98.9%?
No, that feels about right.
Okay.
It's not a great NBA draft this year, though, so you never know. Someone might take a shot on someone who can hit threes because that's incredibly valuable at the next level, but I'd be surprised.
Yeah, Iowa, I think Iowa helped themselves today. I think they helped themselves today. 319-366-1600. So that's the news out of Iowa basketball today. The offensive and defensive coordinators for the Iowa football team are going to meet with the media coming up tomorrow. That should be very interesting. The Iowa spring practice, if you will come up on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. And that is going to be very scrutinized, I have a feeling. We'll talk about that and all things Iowa with Scott Docterman of The Athletic. That'll be coming up on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. There you go, Isaac. Doc on Friday. Mark that down on your calendar. And mark that down on everybody's calendar out there. All news was not great, Mark, and we'll get to that here before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update toward the bottom of the hour here on the Gym Class and 1600 ESPN. But did have some notable passings in the baseball world, most notably Whitey Herzog, the Hall of Fame manager who started off as a player back in the late 50s. And being in Missouri the last handful of days, that hit hard down there because many Cardinal fans in that region. And there's no one more Cardinal, I think, good or bad, depending on if you are a Cardinal fan or not, than Darrell Whitey Herzog.
Yeah, the Royals have been claiming for a couple, 3 years, but by and large, a Cardinal and a terrific manager, a Hall of Famer, some great years with the Cardinals in the 80s, and he was kind of a no-nonsense guy. Built his teams on pitching, defense, and speed. Remember Willie McGee, among others, but a terrific manager, and he, along with Ken Holtzman, the left-hander, and Carl Erskine from way back when, the passings from the last time we visited. But Whitey Herzog, I really like the guy. I wasn't a fan of the Cardinals or Royals, but he's a fun guy.
A lot of Cardinal fans I know out there. Your thoughts about Whitey? 319-366-1600 here at 314. And as you mentioned, he transformed baseball back in the 80s because he emphasized stealing bases. He emphasized speed. He emphasized good pitching and defense. He was a general manager, one of the first general managers slash managers. He went out and built the ball club the way he thought it should be built. Back when the ballparks were pretty spacious, there was AstroTurf all over, as you know, Mark. It was a much faster-paced game because if you hit the ball with any, you know, any authority on the ground, that thing would get so much top spin, it would get to the fielders so quickly. If you've ever played on artificial turf as an infielder, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Not many managers transformed baseball, but Whitey Herzog transformed baseball back in that era.
Yeah, I think he was very smart. He was a no-nonsense guy. He didn't buy into the buddy-buddy relationship with players. He was a pretty straightforward guy who knew what he wanted and ended up building on that premise and some very, very good and entertaining teams. And I don't think that was easy to do in St. Louis after Red Shandinst and so many other great Cardinal teams, but he did.
He did, and tell you what, he may have never been a manager of the St. Louis Cardinals if his Royals teams could have beaten the New York Yankees. Never beat the New York Yankees in the stretch in the 70s, the late 70s, early 80s, right in there, Mark, as you know. Well, late 70s, I should say. I got ahead of myself right there, but couldn't win the big one, and that's why he eventually was let go by the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, and the Yankees were obviously dominant then, and being beaten in the postseason by the Yankees is something I'm very familiar with, being a Twins fan, but that was a hurdle that Kansas City couldn't overcome despite some really good teams.
Yeah, and they lost in excruciating ways in those playoff games to the New York Yankees. I mean, Reggie Jackson's three home runs, Chris Chambliss, his famous home run, you name it, and the Yankees pulled out magic in those great divisional series in the American League back in the 70s. They were a whole lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, there were some kind of iconic games, and I don't know. You know, Herzog was I don't think there's many Whitey Herzogs in baseball these days.
No.
Maybe Bruce Bochy. I don't know.
I don't think so.
You think Whitey Herzog would have embraced analytics?
No. Absolutely not.
He could see with his own eyes that AstroTurf and speed were going to win.
And that's what he built his Cardinals around. That's what he built those cars. He did that basically with the Royals as well, Mark. Willie Wilson as a leadoff hitter. Of course, he had George Brett. And if you have George Brett, you're going to get things done in a good way. Cedar Rapids native John Wathan, a member of his teams back in the day. So he will be missed, definitely, the Hall of Famer Whitey Herzog. 319-366-1600 as we come up on 318. NBA and we do have notes to talk about. We've got NBA playoff action tonight, play-in action for you. It'll be Atlanta and Chicago, and that will come up tonight. And I want to get that right. 8 o'clock tonight, is that right, Isaac? 8 o'clock with our pregame on ESPN?
Give me 1 second.
Okay. It's an 8:30. It says 8:30 starts. So I'm going to guess 8 o'clock.
8 pregame, yep.
Okay, 8 o'clock. So Chicago and Atlanta, and the loser of that game has their season come to an end. Miami and Philadelphia will play in the early game. And, again, we'll have the Bulls and the Hawks coming up for you. That will be tonight. Last night, Mark, what a performance by former Hawkeye Chris Murray to lead Sacramento and maybe end once and for all they're not a dynasty anymore, certainly, but at one time, Golden State was a dynasty. But I think we have seen the end of that as Golden State fell to Sacramento last night, 118-94. Almost a double-double, 32 points and 9 rebounds for Keegan Murray last night.
Yeah, Keegan Murray, terrific game, 32-9. And this may or may not be the end of the Golden State era. A lot of their top flight players are signed through 2025. We'll see. But Sacramento now plays New Orleans on Friday, and the Pelicans are going to be without Zion Williamson.
True.
Who had 40 last night. So, piece of good news. Even though the game's at New Orleans, and New Orleans swept Sacramento this year, good piece of news for Sacramento.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. That is the text line, 6015, saying that the Bulls with the upset tonight. Well, they're at home. So, Bulls, I think they're going to win tonight. We're going to win tonight. We'll see. News from the NBA that pretty historic today, Mark. The first, I believe this is the first time, as far as one of the major sports are concerned in North America and in the United States here, in a while, I'll say that, because if you go back in the day to players like Paul Horning and Alex Karras, they were also suspended, but I don't believe suspended for life. But that is the punishment coming down from the NBA and Commissioner Adam Silver today. Jonte Porter has been suspended for life. Member of the Toronto Raptors, didn't play a whole lot, but involved with gambling. And I hate to say it, I was kind of waiting for this to happen, not necessarily with the NBA, but with one of the major sports, that we were going to see something like this happen. Apparently, this all goes back to a game against Sacramento on March the 20th. Porter disclosed confidential information about his own health status to a bettor. And another bettor then wagered $80,000 on a parlay bet that would have won $1.1 million if Porter hit under his player props. He subsequently removed himself from that game due to an illness, and that was immediately red flagged by whichever betting organization that they were working with. But he also bet on NBA games, Mark, and like I said, I hate to see it, but this does not surprise me at all.
Bet against his own team, in fact, and Adam Silver issuing the ultimate punishment, really. And to me, you got to wonder how many other instances that we'll never know about happen in not only the NBA, but professional sports. And maybe it's minimal, maybe it's not. But I don't think this is an isolated situation. That's just a presumption on my part. And I hope people don't blame Porter's mom.
No.
Who is former Lisa Becker, Cedar Rapids Jefferson, and University of Iowa standout. Knowing Lisa a little bit, talking with her a couple, 3 years ago, I know this is not what she and or her husband is all about. And I don't think it had anything to do with it, and she should not be indictable. But nevertheless, there is that local connection. He's got a brother in the NBA, Michael Porter Jr. But the situation itself, to me, I'd be surprised if it's isolated.
I would agree with you. I would almost say it maybe it's bad wording here, but I would make any bet that that is not the case. But it seems that this happens more with prop bets, Mark, with parlays in, with prop bets included. Not so much as a team, okay, they have to clear 2.5 points here, whatever the case may be. It seems like a lot of our problems that we're starting to dig into, not only in basketball, but in all sports, and also not even on the court, also dealing with threats and other problems as far as social networking is concerned to players, for either overperforming or underperforming. I think the prop bets are more of a problem than anything.
Yeah, I think that's a controllable situation by the players. And, you know, I understand betting, wagering, bringing a lot of joy and excitement to people. to each his own, but I also think it invites this element of players being entangled with bettors, whoever it may be. We saw it in baseball with Ohtani's interpreter. It's just a very tempting thing, even though you're talking about players that make a lot of money. But you can be ensnarled in that. We saw with Ronnie Harmon in the 1980s. So this is, you know, not a new thing by any means. But, again, probably not isolated, but Porter's not going to be playing in the NBA ever.
319-366-1600-3387 on the text line asking, does anything happen to the person that placed the bet? I don't know for sure. I would imagine yes, because if they were in cahoots with Porter, then I got to think that they are going to come under some scrutiny as well, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I'm not that familiar with gambling. I just know that bettors, whether it's somebody that wagers $10 a night or $100,000 on a big game, they're always looking for an edge. And when that edge presents itself, they may or may not take advantage of it. I the answer to the question is I don't know.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. Justin says the book stops accepting their bets. If that's the worst thing that happens to them, then I think they should color themselves lucky for that. Listen, it's not only betting, it's in every walk of life. There are people out there that are looking for shortcuts on how to get from point A to point Z and collect a windfall. This is not just isolated as far as betting in the world of college athletics or professional athletics, Mark. Like you said, people for eons have been finding a way to cheat the system. This is just how they did it in this isolated instance in basketball.
Excuse me, I've got a potential spam call coming in.
Well, where's it from? Mainly Los Angeles have been mine lately. I don't know where yours have been coming from, but that seems to be where they are coming from as of late. 319-366-1600-327. Lot to get to as far as the scoreboard is concerned, and we're going to do that right now. And then John Cooper is going to join us. We're going to talk about the NFL draft from a local perspective, Iowa and Iowa State, you and I, folks. And if you have a question about a player or your favorite team that you would like John to field, go ahead and get it to us at 319-366-1600. But first, Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update from Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. They are open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. They're a fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining room, plus catering, online ordering, and curbside pickup and delivery at Emil's Hideaway. What do we got?
A lot of afternoon baseball today in the major leagues. I'll focus on the finals. Baltimore walked off the Minnesota Twins on a Cedric Mullins two-run homer in the ninth, the Orioles winning 4-2. Other finals, Milwaukee defeated San Diego 1-0. San Francisco over Miami 3-1. The Mets defeated the Pittsburgh Pirates 9-1. And Texas trimmed Detroit 5-4. Terrace Reed, the Michigan big man, 6'10", has announced he will attend UConn, two-time defending national champions, out of the transfer portal. The Iowa High School Girls State Soccer Tournament will be in Ames beginning in 2025 on the Iowa State campus. That announcement made today. The aforementioned Peyton Sanford, the Iowa star, has been named second-team Academic All-America by the College Sports Information Directors Association. Sanford holds a grade point average, with which I'm not familiar, 3.91 in finance.
That's good. That's good. If you're all wondering, and I'm sure no one is, but yeah, White Sox gave up the lead. It's now 3-2 Kansas City in the top of the ninth inning. Tell you what, Royals, if they win, and they will because it is the White Sox, They're going to be 12-6. Heck of a start for the Royals.
Building around Bobby Witt Jr. and getting some decent pitching. And, yeah, whether they'll be there for the long haul, I kind of think they'll be a player.
I would agree. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk about next week's NFL draft. And we'll do that with our lad's scouting services, John Cooper, when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. Breezy and cool today with temperatures around 60 degrees. As we head into this afternoon, we are going to have some sunshine, and then overnight we'll have clear skies for a period of time before clouds and rain moves back in by tomorrow morning. Some showers and thunderstorms will be possible in the morning, with some showers lingering into the early afternoon tomorrow. Temperatures will be in the 50s and we'll stay on the cooler side this weekend. That's your latest Iowa News Now Weather First forecast.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get ours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar, and great to be back here in Eastern Iowa, back in Quickstar country, and no better thing to grab on your way home tonight or any night than a great meal topped off with an incredible dessert. Talking about roasted whole chicken, they're on special for $5.99. That is every Monday, hot and ready for any meal or meal prep. That's roasted whole chicken, or you can get 8-piece chicken, tenders or bone in. They're on special today, $9.99 every Wednesday, hand-breaded and jumbo tenders. And top it off with some great, great Nature's Touch ice cream. They are $4.99, limit two for vanilla or chocolate, fresh from their Quick Trip Dairy up in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Perfect for a night after some great chicken to top things off. And you can pick up those and all of the great items available each and every day at your neighborhood Quickstar.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I lock up my Old Spice Fiji aluminum-free dry spray to keep that 24/7 lasting freshness safe for myself. Fresh coconuts, palm trees in the wind. It's like catching waves in Fiji. Actually, I just talked myself into a refreshing spritz of Fiji. My Old Spice is missing! No!
.333 right on the button here in Eastern Iowa on a Wednesday. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac, all with you here. It is the Gym Class here on KGYM from the Econ Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. And, of course, coming up tonight, we've got Atlanta and the Bulls at 8 o'clock. NBA play-in action for you. The NBA play-in tournament getting underway last night. We'll also have a game for you coming up on Friday evening and perhaps on Saturday as well. We will see what ESPN sends to us. We know next week, a week from tomorrow, it will be the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft from the Motor City of Detroit. And zeroing in on that from our lad scouting service, John Cooper joining us here on a Wednesday in Eastern Iowa. John, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. How you doing?
Doing good. Glad to be on.
Tell, by the way, from Mark and myself, please pass along to Dan and Peggy our best, and tell them hi from us.
I sure will. I'm sure they're happy I'm on in Cedar Rapids.
There you go. And this is like Christmas for you and everybody out there coming up, and all the last-minute gifts are being put together right now, right?
Oh yeah, and we're feeling the draft, I'll tell you. it's a great time of year. Busy. We're weary at this point, but looking forward to next week.
Well, what kind of overall, how would you determine where this draft kind of ranks? Is it one of the better ones as of late, or is it kind of down the line a little bit as far as talent?
Well, the way we always look at it is draft is like fine wine. You just don't know how it's going to age, and it should, if a good draft, will age well. And we'll know in 3 years a little bit. You know, we look right now because loaded all the way through the draft, it seems like, in a lot of corners, and some positions are not as strong. You know, running back's not real strong, inside linebacker, safety. So, but there's some players at all positions. It's just kind of what teams are looking for and how they can deal with the redeeming qualities that each player might have.
John, a lot of focus from all the observers about quarterbacks, and all indications that many will be taken, including top of the first round. But I and one of our listeners want to know about, does J.J. McCarthy really jump into the top 5 or 10?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we didn't think so. In fact, our grade is not – we only have 2 quarterbacks in the top 10 grade-wise. Now, quarterbacks are – a different animal in terms of what people are looking for. And if you need a quarterback, and if you think a guy can play for you and be a starter for you, you know, you're going to take him higher than he might be projected as an athlete. You know, and they all have holes. You never know what you're going to get in a quarterback to get him in your building. I've had several general managers tell me that. That's why there's so many first round busts over the years. I mean, you can name them, you can start naming them, and there's a lot of them. And this year could be no different. You just don't know. I mean, there's holes in all these guys. But J.J. McCarthy, the thing we don't know about him is, can he lead a team? Can he carry a team? He was driving a Cadillac at Michigan, and he played well. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. He didn't have to make the plays. They had a limited pass offense. He threw 22 passes a game on average. But he was a solid player. He can take off and run. He's athletic. He possesses good arm strength. So you just don't know for sure, but there's some team may like him enough to jump up, trade up, or whatever, and take him in that top 4. There's talk that the Cardinals are going to trade back, and that would be smart for them to do that if somebody, you know, values somebody like McCarthy that much.
Another question here, John, on the text line about the Washington Commanders. Do you have an inkling maybe what direction they may go with a quarterback?
Well, we're making the assumption that Caleb Williams is going to go first to the Bears, and I think Jaden Daniels would be the Commander's pick. I would be surprised if he's not. But, you know, we like Jaden Daniels a lot, and, you know, we actually have him rated slightly higher than Williams. Both great athletes, both good quarterbacks, both have issues that they're going to have to address when they play in the NFL. I think Williams maybe more so, but Williams maybe have the upside with his, as Dan likes to say, extemporaneous ability to make plays off platform that maybe nobody else has. And so that's what's attractive to the people that like him. But I, you know, see a guy that makes plays off platform but hasn't really shown he can do it from the pocket. Maybe he hasn't had to. But it's going to be interesting to see how a guy like that develops.
Let's get local here for a minute, John, and start with Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Everybody believes he'll be a first-rounder, but how high and to where?
Well, you know, the thing, you know, I think there's a little concern with the injury. You know, I don't know if he's timed in the 40, if anybody's timed him, and that 40 is, you know, all important to scouts. I watch him on film. I've seen a lot of him. I've been out to Iowa and watched him play in person, and I want to tell you, this is a kid I really love. There's a part of me thinks he's the best corner in this draft, not just because he's a corner, but because of his versatility. He can be a big nickel. He could play safety, and what a great returner. You just don't find a player like that every day. And, you know, I don't know where he's going to go. Probably middle of the first round is where I would think he would go, but you know, you just don't know. Somebody may really like that versatility, jump up and take him. I really like him as a player. He doesn't have the elite speed, but he's got playmaking skill. In the right scheme, he's going to be a great player. And he's going to be versatile. He'd be able to do some things with him, make a big nickel out of him. Play him, move him around the defense if you want, the way the Ravens use Kyle Hamilton. He's that type of player. He's that talented, in our opinion.
Do you see him maybe helping out as a return specialist, too? Or is he just
going
to... Okay.
Definitely. I mean, without a doubt. And again, somebody may play him so much as a corner, they may not want to use him as a returner. But boy, I'll tell you what, this is the game, the way it's going to go with this new return thing. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, how they draft. I think you're going to see a lot of guys with return skills down lower in the draft that might not get drafted that are going to get drafted. Just because of that, you're going to need returners.
John, there's a phrase in Iowa that goes, punting is winning. And that describes Tory Taylor. And there's been 28 punters since 2010 taken in the NFL draft, and most around the sixth, seventh round. What's the priority for teams on a punter? Is it worth drafting one? And would that guy be Taylor?
Yeah, he's draftable for sure. He's a guy that we feel is going to be drafted. I'm trying to think where we had him. I think we had him late, sixth or seventh round. But, you know, we feel he's a draftable player. You know, we have a guy named Jamie Cole that looks at these guys for us, and he ranked him, you know, as one of the top two or three punters coming out this year. And those guys a lot of times don't get drafted. They get signed as free agents, and they make pretty good money. A little bit extra bonus money doing that. So, no, but he's a solid punter.
Some other Iowa guys that might hear their name anyway. I think Eric Aull as a tight end, maybe. We'll see. He might be a free agent type of guy. But is there anybody else out there that you guys have on the radar?
Well, you know, we think Aull is draftable. We see him as a late, you know, a late round pick. It's not a great year for tight ends. So, you know, I think he could go in the, you know, in the sixth round possibly. So, you know, we've got a 5-7 range grade on him. You know, Tory Taylor, by the way, I'm just looking up a grade. We got the same thing on him. 5-7 is the range grade we have on Tory Taylor. Logan Lee is a defensive tackle that we think is a late round pick, possible undrafted free agent or even a priority free agent. You know, he's a, you know, kind of lanky guy. He's got good speed. And the one thing that people are looking for in the NFL these days is a pass rusher interior. You know, that's becoming more and more of a priority. And I think he's a guy that has some tools in that direction. He's got decent speed. He's got really good length, you know, as far as arm length and good hand size. And, you know, and he does some really good things. And I think he could get drafted. He could get drafted late.
TJ Tampa coming out of Iowa State, John, and it's kind of, I don't know, across the board, late first round, early third round, maybe solid second round. What do you guys think?
A late first or solid early second round pick is where we've got him. We like him a lot. He's our sixth ranked corner. And we think there's five going to go in the first, and he could be another one. Just depends on what people think, you know, in terms of what their need is. You know, especially when you get down to those teams on the bottom of the draft, if one of those teams thinks they need a corner and they like him enough, you know, he could go somewhere between 25 and 32 is what we see. But if not, he'll be, you know, possibly the first corner selected in the second round. You know, we like him.
Can still have a very good career at that particular stage. John Cooper joining us here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:43. I have a question for John about your favorite team or person in particular. Let us know on the text line at 319-366-1600. Yeah, Iowa State had such a young team that I don't know if anyone other than TJ Tampa might get their name called in Detroit. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think here off the top of my head who else, you know, we might have from Iowa State here. It really, he's the only guy that we have on our board, you know, that, as you said, a young team that would get drafted.
Northern Iowa. Well, go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask about UNI and Boyd, Christian Boyd up there. a lot of people have a middle round, might be a little bit higher anyway. Where do you like Boyd on the defensive line?
We've got Boyd late. We like him a lot. High motor guy. He didn't, the one, I forget which team they played earlier. We had film on where they played a Power 5 team early in the year. He didn't really show that well against that particular team. A balance issue a little bit. But I tell you, when he got to the bowl game, he played great. And so we're very intrigued by him. You know what I mean? He just plays with such a hot motor, and he just goes. And somebody's going to draft him. There's no question. I'll be shocked if he's not drafted. But I think it's going to be late. Everybody's looking for, that real stout guy with great length, things of that nature. And so, that's not necessarily, Christian. But that said, we like him. We like him a lot, and we think he's going to be a real solid. We think he's going to make an NFL team and be a part of a defensive line rotation.
Bears fan here, John, and I was conflicted for much of the offseason what the Bears should do with Justin Fields. And, of course, he's in Pittsburgh now. Whether it's the right move remains to be seen. Caleb Williams, I'm late in the year, kind of fell off a little bit, but maybe there were other reasons for that. But Caleb Williams, clearly an upgrade from Fields.
I'm not sure. I'm gonna be very honest. I'm just not sure. If he is gonna be that guy. I mean, we like him. A lot about him. We like Fields too. But the reason I think they're doing that, more than anything else, is because they're gonna reset the table, so to speak.
Well, John, you there? I think we lost John. Still says he's there. Isaac? All right, we'll get John back because we got a few questions here. So let's do this, Mark. Let's go ahead and let's go take a break. We'll come back and we'll reestablish our connection with John Cooper from Our Lad Scouting Service and get some of these questions answered that our listeners have for John. We'll do that when we return after a short break here in the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
We got John back and ready to go at 3:48 here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Mark did not hang up on you because he did not like your Bears answer. I just want to point that out.
No.
I was wondering. I was about ready to get to Caleb Williams. I guess we're not. It's such a hard decision to make, but I understand why the Bears are doing it. I really do.
There you go. A few questions here from our listeners. What do you think the Dolphins will do at number one?
Well, I'll tell you what. They've got, I think they need a corner, if I'm not mistaken. I have to brush up here on my Miami Dolphins here a little bit. We divide our lads up into teams, and that's not one of my teams. So, if I remember right, when we did a mock draft, we had that position, kind of earmarked, with them. And then, I think they've got a solid team. They've got a good roster. So So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what direction that they actually end up going.
Another listener would like to know what quarterback the Raiders are looking at the most.
Well, you know, the Raiders, I think, you know, you've got, I think they, you know, they made the trade and they've got Aiden O'Connell. I don't know if they're going to draft a quarterback. I think they're going to let those two guys compete, you know, for that, spot, you know, is the way I see it. I think Aiden O'Connell is a guy that they drafted last year, you know, as a mid-round pick, and I think he's a guy that can play for him. I would be surprised if they made that position a priority. They may draft somebody down the line, but, you know, somebody like a Michael Pratt from Tulane could be on their radar. But he's in the same, you know, mode as a guy like O'Connell. So, you know, I think that's, you know, I think I don't see them drafting a quarterback. I wouldn't draft a quarterback if I was them.
And we answered the Cardinal question. How about the, I don't know if they're one of your teams, but the Green Bay Packers. Would they go after DeGene?
Yeah, I think that's a guy they would look at if he came to them. I think, you know, he's a guy that could fit, you know, that Swiss Army knife type player that I think the Packers need. You know, there's some talk of offensive line for them. There's some talk of an edge rusher as well, you know, with Green Bay. I think the Packers could go a lot of different directions. You know, they've got a decent roster, but they've got to create a pass rush rotation. I know there's a lot of thought that they would draft one of those edge rushers if they're sitting there, but they need help in the secondary. Tyler Newbin is a possibility, but if Cooper DeJean were to fall to them, they would take him, I believe.
Another listener would like to know, do you see Denver going after a quarterback?
Yes, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be one of the top guys. You know, there's another team that I think is looking at Michael Pratt. They're also looking at some free agent guys down the line. Sean Payton, you know, we know him, and we know what he looks for in a quarterback. And it's not necessarily, you know, one of those top four guys. You know, I don't see him trading up to try to get one, but I could see a guy like Pratt of Tulane, who we like a lot, you know, after the top six, you know, we think he's a solid player. And I think he's had two interviews with him, too, so from what I've read. So that's a direction I think they're going to go. They're going to take a quarterback, there's no doubt. It's just where it's going to be. I don't know if they're going to trade up. They could. They could try to take one of those guys that is kind of late, like Bo Nix, Michael Penix, but I think they'll have a new quarterback in their room after the draft.
I like Penix. Who the annual question from one of our listeners: who makes the biggest jump in the first round, and who's falling in the first round in your decision?
That's a tough call, but you know it changes from you know, all the times we look at it. I think a guy that, you know, has dropped a little bit, you know, in the first round, and I don't think he should have, is Latu from UCLA. At one time, we thought he was going to be the top edge rusher taken in the draft, and I think, you know, there's the medical concerns. But the drop is from the media. The drop is from the rumor mill. And so, you know, there's still some thought that he could be, you know, pretty high up there. But that's one guy, you know, I think has dropped a bit. I think the tight end, you know, from Georgia, Brock Bowers, there's talk. We thought he was a top five pick at one time. Not so much now, possibly because of the tight end, maybe the analysis of the people have of him. But we're hearing he's not going to go that high. You know, a guy that, you know, we think is climbing a little bit is a center from Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson. You know, this is a player that, you know, I thought would be kind of a late round pick, a late first round pick. But, you know, this is a kid, if you watch him on film, he's really a good football player. And he can play guard, he can play center. You know, I think he could be the first guard or center taken. And, you know, you just don't know, you know, where he's going to go. But I think it wouldn't be surprised me if he didn't get to the middle of the first round. And, you know, and then J.J. McCarthy is a riser, you know, in a lot of people's minds. I think there's mixed reviews on a lot of these quarterbacks because, you know, I've heard that, you know, there's some teams that Caleb Williams isn't even on their board. It wouldn't take him, you know, for various reasons. But yet there's other people that would trade up to get him. So, it's just an interesting dynamic, and you don't know until draft day what's really going to happen, especially with the trades that are going to be coming.
Yeah. The best receiver in the draft is still Marvin Harrison, right?
In our mind, yes, for sure. You know, Malik Nabers is up there. You know, kid from LSU, great player. You know, Roma Dunze, I think, is going to be in the top 10 as well. But Harrison, in our mind, is the best playmaker. He's the best combination of size, speed, and route running ability. And he can go up and get it, and he is a playmaker. He's a unique talent. And at one point, we thought he might be the top player in the draft. We thought the Bears would really be enamored by him if they were going to keep Justin Fields. And they probably would have traded down if that was the case. But we were reasonably certain that they're going to take Williams.
Mark's just going to be really unhappy every time Marvin Harrison Jr. catches a pass, because it could have been that combination.
Isn't that something?
In Chicago. And my Chiefs now have, I mean, I think they were going to get a wide receiver before, but I think they have to get a wide receiver now, right?
Well, that's kind of what we think. And I think we think they're looking at the offensive line, too, but we think they're going to take a receiver. You know, I think they have to have another one. And there's going to be a guy there for him, too. You know, there'll be somebody there that's a solid player. This is a good year for receivers. So, yeah, you know, Xavier Worthy is a guy. You know, he's got speed. You know, McConkey. I like McConkey from Georgia. Troy Franklin from Oregon. I mean, there's a Donnie Mitchell from Texas. I mean, they're going to have their pick of a solid player at that spot.
Sounds good. And the website, John, give that to the people out there if they want to get more information, and if they want to get a newsletter or anything from what you guys have to offer.
Yeah, well, you go to our website, ourlads.com, very simple. And at the very top of the page, you know, there's all the different things like the NFL draft. There's the depth charts, NCAA depth charts, NCAA. But in the far left-hand corner of that column is a tab you can click on that says Buy Draft Guide. Click on that. It'll take you to an order page where you can order the guide. You can get it either in a hard copy or a digital edition, which can be sent right to your inbox and your email, which is a little cheaper. But, you know, we like the book in our hands. And we're mailing those out, you know, all the time right now. So then the draft review, that is also on sale. That will come out in June, so you can buy that as well.
Awesome. John, great stuff. Thanks, as always. Appreciate it, and take care.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
You bet. John Cooper joining us here at 3:56. And, Mark, it is a very special bowling night in America that we need to preview for tonight. It's brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of bowling night in America. It is all on the line tonight, Mark.
It is. The Evergreen League split its season into two halves. The two half winners meet for the championship, and that is tonight. First half winner, the Rusty Nails, will face the second half champion, Pro Bowling Concepts. Lanes 25 and 26 tonight. May the best team win.
We're going to try our best. We will try our best. And whatever happens, we will have a complete report. And, yeah, it's going to be it's sad always, the final night. But, you know, it's that time. It's been, what, 36 long weeks, right?
It has been. And it'll start before you know it again.
Labor Day weekend, or just after Labor Day weekend. So looking forward to that. We'll have that coming up tomorrow on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Friday, Scott Docterman will join us from The Athletic. We'll take a look ahead to Iowa's spring scrimmage coming up on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. And our thanks to John Cooper for joining us. Do appreciate that. And if you missed anything of his interview, you can pick that up on our podcast, available at kgymradio.com, also available on Apple or Spotify. And we've got the Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks tonight at 8 o'clock, the Eastern Conference play-in game, the 9-10 game, elimination game from Chicago, from the United Center. And we've got that for you beginning at 8 o'clock with an 8:35 tip-off for that one. And 2-16, by the way, if you're playing the home game as the White Sox, again, lose to the Kansas City Royals. That and more coming up on Spencer on Sports. He will join us next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And, Mark, have a great, great night, and we'll try to bring home a championship.
Will do. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good luck.
All right. You've been listening to a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like